beginning it was necessary. That's how we kept warm, by the quilts we made.
The tradition of African-American quilt making is kept alive in our community through the skills and memories of women.
Like the pieces of a patchwork quilt, each voice tells a story of its own, all held together by the common thread of ancestry and culture.
We just thought it was something good to do. My mother did it. And the way they would do their quilt, they would have a quilting party. They would get the women in the community meet at this house and have lunch, and maybe get that quilt that day. The next day they would go to some of the neighbors and do quilt, and they would have stacks and stacks of quilts.
From one year to the other, you know, right after we got together in our crops, you know, and canning and butchering our hogs, you know, meat for the winter, everything. Well, that's when quilting would set in, piecing and quilting. That was getting quilts ready for the following year.
All my mother's sisters quilted, and my father's sisters, they used to have a quilting bee. They would go and help each other. And we children would go along to thread the needles and to make them some coffee and to just be there. And it was nice. They really enjoyed it.
Just up in the day in the morning, after get all the kids off to school, and they start sewing up quilt until late that evening for time to get their dinner ready for that night. They quilt all day long.
And I remember in the springtime, they would hang them out to get air, you know, on the line. And I'd look at those quilts one by one, and they were the most beautifulest things, you know, you've ever seen. Well, then they'd done worked all the winter. And the stitching that they did was so fine, it looked just like machine stitching. And that's the way I like to work today. I don't think a quilt is really worthwhile if you can't make your hand stitches look like machine stitches.
And my mother used to, all the trimmings she'd get off her scraps, a little string like that, she'd take a paper, and she'd start in the corner, she'd lay one down and lay this, then turn that on, lay another until she get the whole. Then she cut out in a square pattern, and the little strings about like your finger, but it was pretty. She called that a string quilt.
We used them at home. We used our quilts at home, and once in a while, my mother would give one to a relative, a young person that just getting started housekeeping.
Everybody that they thought needed one, they give them one. That was one thing about it. They didn't mind giving them away if they go to somebody. Some of them, the older lady looked like she needs some cover, they'd carry them some.
See, when I was growing up, my mother had a lot of pieces around. I was the babysitter, so I just started cutting them up, sewing them together. I taught myself. My mother had a machine there, so why not?
My mother didn't like quilting on a machine. She said that wasn't right. She wanted me to learn to do it on my hand, you know. When I first started out, my stitches, oh boy, you should have saw them. And so I remember so well, she was a very fine quilter, and she'd want my stitches to look just like hers. And so I remember I had to rip my stitches out about two or three times. And about the third time, I got it right. And I am 79 years old, and I haven't forgot a stitch yet.
My first quilt, I wanted to make an 8-pound star. My mother wouldn't let me. She made me make a 9-pound. I'm fascinated by stars, all kinds of stars. I like to see stars.
Oh, I guess when I was about 10 years old, I was real proud of it. And everybody came in, I had to show my quilt. And my mother would hang it out on the line, out in the yard, and everybody would pass, would see it, because that was my first quilt, and I just loved it. With all different types of material, whatever you could find, scraps. My mother had a scrap basket there, and you'd pick out different designs. It was not all the same color. If she had some scraps from a dress, I took the scraps, she'd give us the scraps, my sister and I. And she had something else, whatever she had. She would give us the scraps, we'd make quilts out of them.
My mother always told me that this is really a culture, you know, that it was created by people that really didn't know how to read or write anything. But she told me, she said, you know, they could make some of the beautifulest designs, you know, without a pattern. And they didn't have the colored material like we had then, you know. They would have to dye their material, you know, like they had that mostly flour sacks and feed sacks and so on. And most of them, you know, would be white. They dyed their cloth with roots and berries. And some of them, we would leave them as that natural color, but we would always try to get that writing off the, you know, the bag.
The brighter your colors are, the better your quilt looks, you know? You can have dull colors, and pieces beautiful, it look good, but the brighter the colors are, the better the quilt looks. Whatever colors your pattern call for, that's the colors you use. That's to make a beautiful quilt. But if you just go put a quilt together, you just grab colors, any colors, you know?
You just put pieces together, and sometimes you create a pattern in your mind, and you put that on paper, you know, like a pattern, and you make it. But I don't consider it anything special. It's just something that happened in life for me.
Now, a lot of times my designs come to me while I'm laying down at night relaxing. And what I will do, I will get up out of bed. Most time I have a pencil and paper laid by my bed. And I'll get up and draw that, you know, whatever that design come in my head, I will draw it. And then the next day or two, I will sit down and cut that pattern.
I get some from books and some from necessity. If you have lots of little pieces, you have to figure out how to put them together to make a square block. That's how patterns are, I think, developed.
You just learn by doing. There was no patterns when I came along with sewing and quilting like there is now. You made your own pattern.
We at one time, we didn't have our tracing, this tracing paper like you do, you know, with the pattern. And what I would do, if I wanted to really trace something, I would take my cloth and paper, and I would put where the sun was shining through the windows. I would kind of pin my cloth up in the window, and then I would take and lay this paper on that design, and that's the way I would draw my design, because the sunlight showed that pattern up very well.
I have one quilt that's almost worn out that was made from materials before World War II. Materials were better then. And now the ones I have are made from modern materials.
I use a lot of satin, but I prefer cotton. You take satin, eventually it will break. It will, where you stick the needle, it'll break. But the cotton is going to hold on. A lady last week asked me to make a denim quilt. Could you believe it? Blue jean. That's what I did all day yesterday. Cut blue jean pieces. No kidding.
Me, if I get my pieces cut out, in about 2 days I can sew one and get on the machine. It don't take 2 days. You think about getting all your pieces cut and get them ready.
I can quilt one if it's quilted close in a week in my spare time. But some people it takes them a year or two. I used to store them in plastic bags. Then I read that that's not very good, so I store them in cloth bags made like pillowcases.
My favorite style of sewing, electric sewing machine. And I am presently making a quilt if I ever get it done.
Well, I liked the quilting when I was able to do the quilt, but now, it's just hard for me to do quilting. It's just hard, and I prefer tacking now. See, I can sit straight up and put a tack in there, but I got to bend over doing the quilting. And doesn't fit too good anymore.
Well, to me, it's time-consuming. It is time-consuming. Plus, if I don't like to cut, that's my problem, cutting, because some of my squares don't be cut the same. You want to know what I really relax doing? Fishing. I really relax fishing. I had to throw that in there.
You know, it's so in how it's a place to meet and have fun, meet your friends, and just like anything else, just talk and have fun, and somebody mess up one, and then we get over that. This one is showing me if I mess up, and that one is, it's a lot of fun in it.
I just love to look at the quilts, you know what I mean? And I love to make them, and whenever I make something, and it turned out very well, I'm the proudest person look like in the world, because I did that myself. You understand?
My quilt? Well, I hope when I'm going, my son will keep it. If I get it finished now, he can have it after I'm gone.
Well, the one I got that I didn't do, what I got in the exhibit, was given to me about 16 years ago. And it's very precious to me because a friend gave it to me, and she's gone on now. So it's very precious to me to keep. When I see it, it makes me think of her.
Well, I've already given most of my relatives quilts, something, the young ones, something to remember me back.
Hundreds and hundreds. I just can't count them, you know, been so many. Sometimes I give them to the kids. Sometimes somebody buy one. Sometimes I keep them for myself. Most of my time is just about over. Now I think I'm going to hang it up for a while.
You know, somebody has to go back and pick up those things, because all that will be gone if somebody, I don't know, look like Lord always sends somebody around to do something, because quilting was kind of getting, you know, off. People, the young folk wouldn't don't know not much too much about it. But we had a good time down there quilting. Back then that was just a pattern for the elder people, just to sit down, and so that was their joy, to meet their friends together and sit down and sew and sing and have lunch together. That was their pride to do that.
It was really it's an old tradition, you know, down through the generation of really of the black women.
Sub-freshman class of the University High School in Urbana would like to thank the women whose voices you have heard.
Mary Avant,
Pauline Pelmore,
Bernice Chambers,
Mamie Smith,
Mary McCoy,
and Emma Brandt.
Thanks to each of you for sharing your piece of history with us.